When you think of places connected to beer, you typically think of Germany, home of Oktoberfest, or St. Louis, Missouri, site of Anheuser-Busch's headquarters. Many don't realize that Hawaii has a long history with the beverage. A new book out today, Hawaii Beer, A History of Brewing in Paradise, tracks the timeline from the first beer brewed in the islands in 1778 all the way to the current day. It was written by Paul Kahn, who grew up on the windward side of Oahu and now owns a craft brewery in Pennsylvania. He took some time to trade memories and talk about his writing process with the conversation's Russell Subiono.
What's the first beer you remember drinking, and what's your favorite beer now?
That's a great question. Yeah, so the first beer I remember drinking was Budweiser. You know, Budweiser was sort of around when I was a kid in Hawaii. It was, you know, just part of the environment. And so when I was old enough to drink, and that was back in the day, it was 18 years old, was the legal drinking age. Gives you an idea of how old I am. So that's really sort of the first beer I remember drinking. And like my favorite beer now, that's a tough one because, you know, I own a brewery, so I got to say my own beer. I gotta
right, it's like your kids, right? You can't say who your favorite kid is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we make a really good dark IPA. We call it Shy Ronnie.
After the SNL character?
You know, it's one of the owners has a friend who he brewed with. He did home brewing before we really sort of got started into the larger craft brewing where, you know, we have a brick and mortar place with a tap room. And so he just kind of named the first beer out of the gate Shy Ronnie, and it was this dark IPA.
I remember my grandfather used to drink Budweiser a lot, too. I remember as a kid that there was always Bud in the refrigerator. You know, I'm curious, at what point in your life did you come to the conclusion that someone needed to tell Hawaii's story of its history with beer?
You know, that actually occurred just kind of recently, I would say, with right around 2019. And it's kind of a bunch of events happened at once, and I was waiting at a craft brewery for some friends, and they were running late, and my mind was sort of wandering. And I had just finished a book about the history of beer in the United States. And nothing in that book touched on Hawaii. Hawaii wasn't included anywhere. I'm like, really? I mean, because, you know, we have Primo. I know there's the old building in Kaka'ako that's still standing. And then just by complete accident, there was some ad playing on the radio at the bar. And I don't even remember what the ad was for, but it was, of course, at the end, it said something like, offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii, which we always get. And it's always like, oh, really? You know, because you know what's valid? Our beer history. And it sort of hit me. You know, I wonder if anybody has written about Hawaii's beer history. Because we've got a story to tell. And so I did a little bit more digging. I found there was one smaller book that was written in like 2007. It was self-published. And I used that as kind of a jumping off point. And then there's like a small journal article in an academic journal that I think is about like 9 pages. And I used that as kind of the jumping off point and just began digging around and found a publisher.
Yeah, we always tend to get left out like that. I'm glad you picked it up and you decided to write the book. So what was your writing process like? Did you approach it like a novel or like a research paper? And was it important for you to do your research in person?
Yes to all of that. So I did I approached it a bit, not academic-y. Because I didn't want to write that book. I wanted to write a book that was more inviting and approachable, that was accessible to both the beer drinker and the person who's interested in Hawaii, or, you know, Kama'aina, who didn't really know much about the beer history or sort of heard a bit about it, kind of like me. I kind of remember Primo, but, well, you know, what's the rest of the story? So I have a friend who is a historian, and he always says, you know, what's the story? That's really what good history is about, is there's some sort of story. And so that's how I approached this. I began to think about what really are we trying to say about our beer history? And it began as, well, this is really about distance. You know, this is about geography. How did beer get to the most isolated landmass on the planet? It didn't happen by accident. You know, beer doesn't just suddenly happen. People grew it and people drink it. So that's how I approach that.
You know, speaking of Primo, your book is full of tons of interesting historical facts about beer making in Hawaii. Like the aluminum can was an innovation from Primo Beer in 1958, and Kauai Island Brewing Company is the westernmost brewery in the country. My favorite little fact that I read was that the first beer brewed in Hawaii wasn't made on land. Can you tell us a little bit more about that story?
Yeah, so the first beer that was recorded in Hawaii was actually brewed on a Royal Naval vessel by Captain James Cook. And this was just off the coast of the Big Island of Hawaii. And really, the Navy, this was kind of a medical experiment of a kind. The Royal Navy was battling scurvy, which is this sort of wasting disease that sailors get on long voyages if they don't get adequate nutrition. And so the Royal Navy had this idea that, well, beer can prevent scurvy. So let's try this out. And one of the early experimenters was Captain Cook. So he's like, all right, well, what do I have here to make some beer? So use sugarcane and hops to make this brew. But apparently it was terrible. Not only was it terrible, but it was making the crew like violently ill, which, of course, is bad for their health. So according to one of his lieutenants, the crew sent a letter to Captain Cook saying, this is kind of terrible, and it's hurting our health. And if you make us drink this beer, there could be a problem, which Captain Cook took as a threat of mutiny. So he said, well, all right, everybody, let's assemble on the aft deck and discuss this. And by discussing it, he meant, I'm going to surround you with 20 heavily armed Marines, and I'm going to say, you're going to drink this beer because I'm going to cut your brandy rations and your food rations until you do it. So, you know, faced with that choice, that's actually really when the first beer was made. It was made out of sugarcane and hops.
When you think about all the historical research that you did for the book, what fact surprised you the most?
You know, I have to say, other than, you know, finding out that the first beer in Hawaii was brewed offshore, or that the first beer brewed onshore was actually done by a Spaniard who was one of King Kamehameha the Great's advisors, that was kind of a surprise. So outside of those two things would be like the no kidding Germans from Germany who were brewers throughout Hawaii's history of beer. So a lot of breweries weren't owned by Germans, Americans mostly, but they brought in Germans. A lot of them from, you know, the mainland where they're working at Pabst or some other brewery on the mainland and enticed them to come over. So you get some, you know, great sounding German names, you know, Hartwig Harders or, you know, Walter Glickstein or Flickenstein. And even into the 1980s with the, you know, the first craft brewery on Wailuku, you had Aloysius Klink. I mean, just some great German names who are no fooling Germans from Germany. Walter Glockner would be another one who brewed for a Royal Brewery that was competing with Primo in the early 30s.
We're going to take a short break right now from our interview with Paul Kahn, the author of Hawaii Beer, A History of Brewing in Paradise. But we'll be back with his thoughts on why Heineken is so popular among locals and which brewery convinced NASA to harvest space yeast for a special beer.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Ward Village, committed to creating community and developing opportunities for shops, restaurants, and businesses in Hawaii. Learn more at wardvillage.com.
Diabetes can be prevented, but once someone is diagnosed, it needs to be managed. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Join me today on The Body Show. We'll talk with local experts about how COVID has changed their diabetes research and how taking care of this condition is more important now than ever. That's today at 6:30 on The Body Show.
Support for HPR comes from Honolulu Chamber Music Series. Midori performs violin sonatas by Grieg and Franck in a virtual concert, 2 p.m. this Saturday, open to the community. Registration at honoluluchambermusicseries.org.
You are back with the conversation. Let's continue our interview with Paul Kahn, the author of Hawaii Beer, A History of Brewing in Paradise, a new book out today.
I grew up here, and I think most local people born in the 70s or earlier remember Primo being the beer. And I just missed, I grew up in the era where Primo was being phased out, but I remember the Primo hats, and I remember,
yeah,
you know,
too.
Nook and hair, get Primo in my ear, and a lot of things about Primo, but I don't ever remember seeing it on the shelves. Mm-hmm. And in your book, you write that Primo captured 70% of the Hawaii market by 1969. But today, most locals would agree that Heineken is the local beer of choice. And I've had this discussion with plenty of family members several times, but I'd like to know why you think that those green bottles are the most popular amongst locals.
You know, that's a real phenomenon. We call it the green bottle phenomenon. And so I'm a bit older than you are. So I remember the Primo hats are made out of yarn and the cans, and the aluminum cans. Are those the hats you're talking about?
Yeah,
you're talking
yeah.
about like the baseball hat.
The cans, the can bucket hats, yeah.
Yeah, and they're kind of hard to find now. I mean, even if you go on eBay, you're like, oh, okay. But yeah, they used to be like all around. And that's sort of one of my first memories of Primo wasn't the beer, but I think we were at a parade. It might have been a Kamehameha Day parade with my dad, and I was young, and I remember seeing somebody wearing one of those hats. I was like, oh, okay. And then later on, I found out it was about beer. But yeah, the green bottle phenomenon, and how did Heineken do it? Because Heineken, a Dutch beer that is now owned by a huge conglomerate that owns so many other different types of beer. I think they own like Stella Artois and you know, Bass and all these other kind of popular imported beers. But what I think happened was that Primo, of course, lost market share because they had moved their brewing largely to California, and they began to kind of dehydrate things like the wort, W-O-R-T, and then send it back to Hawaii, and it was kind of rehydrated with Hawaiian water, and it kind of tasted awful. And so this is right around the moment when you had a lot of mainland beers, Budweiser, Miller, Olympia. And so you could get those for about the same price. But the green bottle phenomenon, you had Heineken kind of like, hey, this is a little bit more, but it's premium. It tastes better. And Heineken has been really good at kind of taking advantage of that. So they, you know, they work with a lot of charities, UH Sports, for example. So their marketing was better in many respects than Primo.
It wasn't until I moved back home from the mainland that I realized that Heineken was everywhere. Even, you know, yeah. Every time I go to my brother's house, that's all he has in the refrigerator. So it's been interesting to see how that shift is. Part three of your book is a collection of mm-hmm. interviews that you did with many local people in the Hawaii brewing mm-hmm. scene. Of all the interviews that you did, what's your most memorable?
Oh, man, that's hard because they were, you know, the men and women who are involved in brewing in Hawaii, they were just interesting in and of themselves. It's kind of hard to compare each one of them, but one thing that stood out about all of them as a collection was just the love of what they do and where they do it. So even if they're not locals, they're transplants and they become locals, it was a real sense of pride in what they do and pride because of how they serve the community where they are. That local for them is local as in neighborhood, local as in, you know, town. Sometimes it's local in, you know, in terms of island or who's investing, like Ola Brew Company in Kona, where they have so many individual investors. It's, you know, it's a great business model. I have to say, I really enjoyed talking to Maxim Davis, who was originally with Kona Brewing Company, and talked a lot about the early days of getting Kona up and running in the 90s and the challenges with that. Because, you know, it's like Big Island. Why would you brew on the Big Island? Why wouldn't you brew in Honolulu, where there was Primo, where there is a kind of a better infrastructure? But just the early challenges, the building of of the brand. And he has just a, he's a great sense of humor. We were on a car ride together because he had to go pick up some supplies for one of his restaurants. And so as a craft brewer myself in the business, and our brewery just turned three, it was kind of cool to hear, oh yeah, here's a guy who really worked hard to do it. And, you know, what can I learn? Not just the history of what I want to put in the book, but as somebody who's, you know, side hustle is in brewing. So I really enjoyed that conversation. I have fond memories of that.
When I moved back from home from the mainland, Kona Brewing, I think, had just, or at least when I was making trips back home, Kona Brewing was at its outset. So it was nice to see that there was some local beer production going on. And from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, we can grow everything needed to brew beer here except for hops. Is that accurate?
Yeah, more or less. We can probably grow hops in Hawaii, but, you know, it would be really difficult. It would be trying. Plus, you know, what kind of grain can we grow that would be sustainable in the long run in the tropics, where it's actually, you know, much easier and much cheaper in many respects to get those ingredients from overseas, from across the Pacific. I know, for example, like Hanakoa has experimented with some really good New Zealand hops, and some really tasty beers from Hanakoa using those hops. So yeah, it would be difficult to do that in a large scale given the climate and how much care and nurturing you'd have to put into that.
Would be nice one day to be able to drink a beer fully grown and brewed in Hawaii.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the interesting thing about, say, Lanikai Brewing Company on the Windward side where I grew up is Steve Homschild, who runs that place, uses local yeast. He's a yeast prospector. So he will find local yeast somewhere, whether it's from a mango, or he's even swabbed bellies of sharks for yeast and use them in brews. So that's pretty local. That's a local ingredient, you know, just finding these yeast strains that are within the environment of the islands.
Wow, that out of the bellies of sharks?
Yeah, and he also managed to, and this is in my book, where he managed to convince NASA to find space yeast. So, they're going up in this experimental, not an experimental aircraft, but it's an aircraft that they use to run experiments. And with, you know, no cost to the taxpayer, they used this particular flight to capture space yeast. And so he wasn't, you know, really sure whether or not this yeast would be fermentable, whether you could use it to actually kick off the process for brewing. And so he found some strains like, this is new. So there was a whole process of, okay, not only will this be a fermentable yeast, but is this fit for human consumption? And this is an unknown one. He called it a UFO. An unidentified fermentable object. And so I think they brewed a beer, I don't remember the name, that commemorated the anniversary of the moon landing.
Well, I learned a lot reading your book, but those are incredible things to learn. Thanks so much for your time, Paul.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
That was Paul Kahn talking with The Conversation's Russell Subiono. That new book, Hawaii Beer, A History of Brewing in Paradise, is out today. To learn more about it, check out the link on the Conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.